Good morning, Westridge. Hey, it's good to be here with you today in person and online as we continue in our The Magic of Christmas series. Hey, Darren did a great job the first week talking about talking about the magic of finding Jesus. And Greg last week did a phenomenal job with the magic of finding peace. And today we're going to look at the magic of finding joy. So last Sunday, we went to spend time with two of our grandsons. I got this picture of Porter here. Now, Porter is three, and that week or that day, he went and saw Santa Claus, and he brought home a coin that looked something like this, and on one side said, "Have a very Merry Christmas." The other side, it said, "Remember the reason for the season." So I was sitting there in front of him, and he handed me the coin, and I said, "Hey, you want to see Grandpa do a magic trick? I can make this disappear." And, you do this, and you toss over here. So anyway, as I was doing that, Luke said, "Dad, there is no way he's going to be fooled by that." So I did this. And Porter went, "Where?" And Luke said, "Guess I was wrong." Now, I love doing things like that. I love bringing joy. I love the joy that comes from watching kids in action. By the way, it was a lot of fun up here, wasn't it? Now, for me, most of the time, things that bring joy are something pretty simple, okay? Now, this is a magical time of the year. However, I also realize it's easy to forget joy at this time, right? The busyness, the need to accomplish so many different things, travel concerns, family expectations, wrapping presents. Hopefully, Darla's doing that while I'm here today, which will be great. With all this pressing in on us, joy can drain away. So I was thinking about the topic of the message today, and my mind was drawn to a water park. It may sound strange, but there is a ride at the water park, most water parks, and it looks something like this. The Lazy River, right? Okay, you know what you do on these, right? You grab a device, you jump in the water, and then you climb on your device, and then what do? You float around and around in circles. Okay, just float along. Everything just dandy. Sometimes it's crowded with people. Other times you're there alone with your family as you float along. Have you ever felt like life can be this way at times? You know, we float along day to day, not expecting anything of significance to change, forgetting that moments of magic can happen at any time. The group of people we're going to be looking at today from the Christmas story were on their own Lazy River. Normal, everyday people out there doing their job, floating along one normal night in a lifetime along with another many lifetimes of normal nights. Today we're going to talk about the shepherds. The shepherds who were the first people to hear the news about God's great gift of his son. And the truth, that night, a holy disturbance was coming their way. The shepherds, ordinary people who experienced an encounter with our extraordinary God. And we who embrace the magic of what God did when he sent Jesus to earth, well, we can learn some very important lessons from these shepherds that I believe will help us find joy at this time of the year. Emmanuel means God with us. And now God had just sent his son into the world as a perfect gift when he announced the news to this group of shepherds who are out in the fields doing their job. Now, it always intrigued me that the news of Jesus came to this group of common, ordinary people. Now listen, if we were going to have the most impact, I know what I would do. I would make sure that the movers and shakers of the region heard about this baby who was born, the new king. I would have made sure the influencers got the news so they could spread the word everywhere they went. But instead, God had a different plan. See, he knew what he was doing, and he got the word out to ordinary people. Now, I got thinking about this. As you look at the life of Jesus in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can see that most of the time, Jesus spent his time with ordinary people. Just like me, just like us. Ordinary people who were going to do extraordinary things because of the connection they had with Jesus. See, this encounter with the shepherds is a great reminder to me of how God sees people differently than we do. I mean, I know myself, sometimes I put value on different people. You know what I mean? It's not right. Like, this person is more important than this person, or so forth and so on. And I think sometimes we attach different values to people. But God doesn't do that. God sees every person as important. Every person as valuable. No one is insignificant to the master. And in fact, no one is too far gone because of the choices they made in life to be removed from the love of the Father. Anyone is welcomed into relationship with him. I love that about the Father. So I think maybe looking at the way that God sees people could help us see people differently as we navigate the journey of life. But these shepherds out in the fields watching their flocks when suddenly a holy disturbance occurred. Dark skies were filled with light. An angel appeared. And of course, they were terrified. Darkness, suddenly light. The angel said, "Don't be afraid." And then he began to tell them about a baby who had been born in nearby Bethlehem, a baby who was going to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And where there was one angel, suddenly the skies were filled with a multitude of angels proclaiming joy because of what God had done by sending this gift to the world. Now, there are several things I see as I look at these guys and their responses to the holy disturbance. The first thing I recognize, and I think this will help us, is we need to be ready for surprises from God, because surprises happen. Now, the shepherds were not ready for the news they received about the newborn king. However, they did know that a newborn king who was going to be Messiah had been promised. So they were well-versed in that. I'm sure they knew that God had promised he was going to send somebody who would change the world. They just didn't know when. They didn't know who it was going to be. But I believe this is one reason they were ready to respond to what the angel told them. I brought one of my favorite toys with me today. Okay? Now, we know how this works, right? Okay, now. That's so unfulfilled, isn't it? Okay, here we go. Hey, there we go. All right. Now, my grandson, when he's almost 12 now, when he was first born, you know, about a year in, I bought this because I said, I bet every kid needs to see a Jack in the Box, right? Or a sock monkey in the box, whatever you want to say. And I do that, and of course, when the sock monkey jumped out, he didn't like that at all. Okay, he didn't like that surprise. Now, he plays with this all the time. He says, "Oh yeah, here comes the sock monkey." You can tell. Okay, you can tell the sock monkey's coming by the music, right? Now, we need to be ready for surprises from God, because you never can tell when he's going to show up. Now, we who follow Jesus, and I believe we should live with an expectant mindset. We should expect to see the Father in action. Now, I lead a ministry called Ignite Church Planting. We start churches across Chicagoland. Okay, we started... We've got six going this year that we've started. A variety of different churches, different places, different people. Okay? So, earlier this year, though, I received several surprises from God that I'd like to tell you about. First of all, I was traveling through a little town 6 miles away from where my son and daughter-in-law live in Champaign County. And I go through Sydney often because Sydney is home to the Sydney Dairy Barn, which is one of the greatest places to buy ice cream, and I love ice cream, okay? So I go to Sydney fairly often, and I would drive past Sydney Christian Church. And I would often think, well, I wonder if they support any missions like Ignite or not. But I never stopped. Well, this day, I think it was in July, I was traveling through town, and I just thought, yeah, I got this nudge. Stop. Okay. Pulled in the parking lot, and I went inside the building, and there were a group of people decorating the church that day. And so I just started talking to him. One of the guys looked familiar, and I realized he was my son and daughter-in-law's neighbor across the street. I said, "Mr. Bear?" He said, "Yeah." And he looked at me, and I said, "I'm Jared Hurley's dad." He said, "Oh, yeah, I knew you looked familiar." So we started talking. I said, "Joe, will you show me around the place?" He said, "Sure," because the minister wasn't there. And he showed me around the building. We were talking about the different thing going on, And the minister showed up. So I went back to meet with him in his office. And first thing he said to me, because I dropped my card off, "Are you related to Scott Hurley?" I said, "Yeah, he's my youngest brother." And Doug said, "He was my youth minister when I was in junior high in Charleston, Illinois." Okay, small world, right? Okay. So we just started sitting down and we started talking. And that connection there, it just made us feel like we were friends already. And so we talked. We talked about how he survived my brother being his youth minister, okay, which is very important, okay? We talked about deer hunting. We talked about playing baseball in college. He played at Cincinnati. I played at Lincoln. And I found out that he helped coach junior high baseball in the school district my grandson and granddaughter go to. And I told him, my grandson's getting ready to go out for the team as a sixth grader. He said, "I'll look for him." So we were just talking. And he said, "So what does Ignite do?" I told him, "We start churches in Chicagoland." And he said, "Hey, would you be willing to come and speak some Sunday and talk about what you do?" I said, "I'd love to. I'd love to." So I did that back November 4th. Now, went back home. Darla was there with my daughter-in-law, Crystal. And I told Darla, I said, "Hey, I had a chance. I just stopped by. Got a nudge from the Spirit. Stopped by, and I talked to Doug Kirkowitt there in Sydney at the church." She said, "That's cool." I said, "He invited me to come back to speak in November." And she said, "That's great." And Crystal looks at me and says, "You are amazing." I said, "Thanks. Why?" She said, "You go someplace you've never been to before, you talk to a guy, and he invites you to come back and talk. That's amazing." I said, "No, that's God. That's God." Because all the connections were the Father's, right? So I ended up speaking, and long story short, they're supporting Ignite as a mission now because they said, "We like what you're doing." I thought, cool, God showed up. Because, you know, sometimes those surprises are just waiting to happen, right? I saw the same thing earlier this year. We applied for a grant that would help us establish a new ministry arm for Ignite and help grow this ministry arm. We want to help churches get healthy so they can have daughter churches. And I say, I start churches. That's what I do. So we applied for this grant in June and then waited. We waited and waited and waited. And we prayed and prayed and prayed. Okay, that's what we did. And we just asked for the favor of the Father to be on this. If this is what he wanted for us, it would happen. So we heard nothing. And I told our team, I said, that's probably a good sign. Because I said, the last time we applied for this, we got shut down the first month. So I said, probably a good thing. November 16th, I was in Western Illinois preparing for deer season when I received a call from the person who had done the majority of the work on the grant. And he said, "Did you see?" And I said, "See what?" He said, "We got it." My response was, "You have got to be kidding me." Okay? Hey, I've been praying all the time for this thing. But it was totally shocking to me. I called Darla outside to show her the email that said we had received it. And she looked at it, she read it, she said, "I am so proud of you." And I started crying. Because it was just overwhelming to me, the surprise of God. And surprises from God are that way. Sometimes they come when we least expect them. But we should expect them. Because our Father loves us. And sometimes a holy disturbance happens when we least expect. That's why we live with anticipation that God is going to show up. And that should be a marker for all we who follow Jesus. Hey, remember beepers? Remember those things? Okay. When our twins were getting ready to be born, so that was back in, that was 36 years ago, okay? So I wore a beeper because we didn't have cell phones at that point in time, okay? So I wore a beeper. And it's because the doctor said when Darla has the first sign of labor, go. You know, you come to the hospital right away. Okay, all right. So several times I get the beep. And I drive home as fast as I could and pull in the driveway, run inside, only to find her doing her normal routine life saying, "Hey, why are you here?" I said, "My beeper went off." Did you know the beepers could get wrong numbers? Yeah. Multiple times, okay? Yeah. I think it was just that test to know I'd be ready to go, okay? So anyway, let's live ready for God to show up, because he will, and he does. Second thing, I think we need to respond to his direction with curiosity and movement. So after the angel left him, the shepherds were faced with the decision. You know, do we just go back to what we were doing, taking care of the sheep, or do we go and see this thing that's happened? And you know what they did. Here's what the Bible says. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. Curiosity. I brought rattling horns with me today. These are devices you use when you hunt deer. Okay, so tell me. Okay, what's going to happen when I do that? Any hunters in the bunch? Okay, it draws the bucks in, because they think there's a fight going on, and they want to see what's happening, right? Okay, curiosity. When we see God in action, it should cause curiosity to overcome us. And we want to go see more. Moses, he saw a bush burning in Exodus chapter 3, but it didn't burn up. He said, "I got to go see what's going on here." The early disciples, John the Baptist pointed to Jesus and said, "That's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And when they had an opportunity, they said, "Man, we got to go see this guy." And they hung out with Jesus all afternoon, and something changed inside of them. Holy disturbances. I was on Tuesday, I was traveling to a meeting in Central Illinois when our Farsi church planner called me. And he said, "Hey, you have a moment for some good news." Well, I always have time for good news, okay? So I said, "Absolutely." So he said, we launched our third in-person church in Pakistan this past weekend. Now, James has an in-person church that meets in Addison. That's one we helped start. And this past year, they've launched one in Toronto, and they've launched one in Hungary, and they've launched one now in Pakistan. He said the guy who's leading the one in Pakistan said he was in jail in Afghanistan under the control of the Taliban. They threw him in jail. He said for some reason, they let him out for a couple of days, and he ran for his life. Ended up in Pakistan. And he's got a group of 25 to 30 people he's pulled together in Islamabad. And every week they're tuning into the services that are streamed from Addison across the world to 1,500 people, and they are a church learning about Jesus, drawing others into relationship with Jesus. And you know, the church in Addison started because of a conversation I had right down here one Sunday. A guy told me, "I know, I met a guy the other day who is a follower of Jesus. He was once a Muslim, but he's a follower of Jesus living in Chicagoland, and he's gathered some people together." I said, "I need to talk to him." Well, we have. I've got a relationship started with James. We started talking. We started praying together. And long story short, people from across the world now are coming to Jesus because we were willing to make a move. Curiosity leads to movement. See, when we have one of those moments where God shows up, and it can happen anytime, it should draw us closer to the Father. It should ignite a desire to have more opportunities like this. The shepherds receiving the word from the angels were filled with joy because they were on the front row of a history-changing event. And this joy caused them to move so they could see it themselves. That leads to the third lesson I think we learned from them. We get a chance, after we have had experiences with God, to tell other people about those experiences. The shepherds hurried off, searching through the town of Bethlehem. They found the baby, mom and dad, lying in the stable, just as they had been told. Ordinary shepherds encountering an extraordinary God, born to a regular mom and dad in a stable. And all these people were part of God's plan. Just like all of us are part of God's plan. Every one of us who is a follower of Jesus has a story to tell. I love telling people how I see God at work. I love sharing stories. Last week, Well, let me go back a couple weeks ago. I was at Dyer, Indiana, speaking to church. A lady came up to me after church, and she told me her story. She said, I've been coming to church now about a month. I love it. It's so unchurchy. Okay, I like that. I like that a lot. Okay. She said, I just love it. I'm learning about Jesus. My children are growing. She said, I just wish my husband would come with me. I said, well, tell me about him. She said, well, he's had some bad experiences with God, he thinks. Now, God's let him down. He said, he's just kind of hard. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. Let's pray that God softens him. So we prayed. We prayed right there. Just asked God to soften Mike's heart. So I was there again, so this was 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Yeah, I was there last week. And after church, I was talking to some people. And then I could see her in the back just kind of doing this. But she was so excited. She was dancing. Okay? And so she came out to me. I said, so how you doing? She said, your prayer worked. I said, well, you got to tell me now. How did my prayer work? She said, he came with me to church last week. And he loved it. He said, it's exactly how you described it. He said, I want more of this. So we just prayed a prayer of celebration that God did something. He said, you know what happens when we see God at work? I see it like this. Okay, right? I mean, doesn't it just shake us up and fill us up with joy and cause us to want to explode all over? I'm not going to do that, okay? Okay. You're in the splash zone, okay? So here's the reality. This is what seeing God at work does for us, right? It's an effervescent joy that builds up inside, and we have to let it out. We have to tell others what's going on. And I'll tell you what, the more excited I get, the more I realize it helps excite other people to do the same thing. Now, I just think there's some great lessons to be learned from these shepherds, ordinary people. I think sometimes we can get a little down on ourselves, thinking, man, I'm nobody special. I mean, or how could God use someone like me to make a difference? If you have a tendency to think that way, remember the shepherds, okay? The first people outside of Mary and Joseph to hear the good news about the birth of Jesus. And just like the shepherds, I believe we can follow their example and share what our extraordinary God is doing around us as we keep our eyes open for him. So I've got a couple things. I've got three things I want to ask you to do. First of all, 2 weeks ago, Darren used this quote from Carl Sagan. Remember that one? Somewhere, something incredible is waiting to happen. I believe our God is alive and well and is active in our world today. And I believe he's working all the time. And he can show up in very surprising ways. So I want to ask you this week to just look for his presence, because his incredible presence is just waiting to be known. And he wants us to know him. So keep your eyes open in the week ahead, okay, for those holy disturbances that do come our way. Secondly, Greg last week, he asked you about your God is Faithful journal, the Thanksgiving journal he asked you to do back in around Thanksgiving time. That when you experience the presence of God, and if you look for him, he'll be found. I want to encourage you to write that down in your journal. Write down what you see, how you see him at work. Write down how it makes you feel. I keep a journal myself. And I do this so that through the year, at the end of the year, I look back and just see all the ways I've watched God at work. And I flip through the pages. It just brings joy to my heart. Because I know his love, his care, his provision. I encourage you to practice this because I believe it'll make a difference now and into the year ahead. And last but not least, please share your story with someone who needs to hear it, someone who needs to know that God is at work and that he does care. And the shepherds were grateful that the news of Jesus came to them, but they also knew it would be wrong to keep it to themselves. So they went out and told everyone they knew what had happened and what they had seen and who they had met. And we're told in the Bible that all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. Hey, we can continue to amaze people, not because of anything we do, but because of what God has done. So here's what I want to ask you to do. Keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open for the magic. Magic of knowing that God is at work and he is for us. So let's keep our eyes open for opportunities in the week ahead to share the light of Jesus with those who need so badly to know him and hear about it.